Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you, sir?
Not bad, seeing you.
I'm glad to hear your voice. At least to hear your voice make me feel good, because I started listening to my stuff for sleep, right? Mr. Johnson, yeah? You hear me?
So I'm listening to you. Clearly.
Hello?
I am listening to you. Clearly.
Yeah. I said, glad to hear your voice. At least you keep me alive, but I listen to the problem that's going to start for sleep. But
you can't
ever hear Mr. Johnson. At least you keep me alive.
Okay.
But I got that minister to you. Make him, your next ministry is looking after Bristol and make him get bread again.
Me?
But that guy just made me really admire him, because I can remember years ago, I'm going to have the Oasis Club. It was right here to the Advocate at that time.
Uh-huh.
And a guy by the name of Ralph Valapoo used to rub the club. I'm playing my little band. I used to get my little drums there playing and saying, you know?
Okay.
And then there's these had shares and boats coming in and saying, and let my friend know that not only we got bugs, the first chicken pots I ever had, I got in Canada. Because you had 25 people working in a long bunkhouse.
Mm-hmm.
One guy went to get involved. One Canadian guy, some little boy had chicken pox.
And bring
and
it?
The doctor said to him,
mm-hmm.
once you come back to the bunkhouse, all the guys going to get the same chicken pox.
The same chicken pox.
And I was going to care for 24 years. And then the first day I had chicken pox. So I mean, it's troubles all over, Mr. Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir. Take care. Be good. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Not too bad. I'm glad to hear that you were giving lessons in correlation. Does not mean causation, but expressing that in those kind of terms. because things might correlate, does that mean that one causes the other? Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to back up. I just not ready white call, but I'm going to back up Mark. Listen, I didn't want to say anything, right? But before the elections, I was downtown going across the bridge just in time to hear a lady turn to some of her friends and say, Bridgetown is the deadest city that she's ever been in. And
because I don't think Bridgetown is considered a city anymore. I just waiting to see until we move our capital to Warrens or somewhere else.
Yeah, because that's what wrong. That's why I didn't want to say. I just didn't want to say before election, but that's bad. Basically, I just realized, I shook my head. I said, I wouldn't see listen to Brass. It's true enough. I'm glad. I like the way that you handle after this, especially when you spoke about 9/11. You know, when Mr. Glassenholder wrote his piece on 9/11 called Entire Pack, Nation Newspaper, I think it was June 16, 2002, page 10A. If you look at it, you see that he was completely devoid of emotion when he saw what he saw on television on September 11, 2001. And he sat down, he did some research without any emotion, which is very, very important, because just this year, a former Twitter media engineer who's now works at MIT made a statement. He said, fake news actually reaches people, travels 6 times faster than real news. The reason for this is the people who publish fake news rely on 2 emotions. One, the emotion of surprise, and 2, the emotion of abhorrence. So when you analyze it, you must be completely devoid of emotion. Sit down and think about it logically, because there's now actually some research, which we already know anyway. Emotion tends to affect the heart, and the heart affects the brain. It also can cause the rhythm. And you're a fellow involved in music, you want to understand rhythm. The rhythm of the heart, right? Actually changes, and that actually changes the thought process as well. Now, Arthur was speaking about, I think it was Crablace at one point, then, but when he was speaking to you,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, as far as I think, I'm just like him, the first person I ever saw him was in Canada. When I was traveling, I stayed in a hostel, and there's somebody in there, I had them also. But nowadays, you don't necessarily have to shave with you, but Arthur can tell you, you can use certain shampoos. And in the kit, they have a comb and stuff like that. Also, when you wash your clothes, you should wash your clothes in high heat, like boiling water, and also use high heat to dry for about 30 minutes or put them in direct sunlight. Of course, with some of the clothing that we have nowadays, some of this light stuff might fade, but that's normally a general procedure. But I guess somebody, perhaps we're going to have to experiment with the next time he comes on to talk about that, or at some point in time, too, so that we would know. Anyway, you have a good afternoon.
You too, sir. Take care. 4341-790 Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello?
I was talking over here just now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That some fellow was talking that don't have no shows in Bristol. so no more.
He said no cinemas.
Cinemas.
Yeah.
Bristol no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree with that talk. You know why I disagree?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly every individual in Barbados now had their own DVD to have everything in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, it don't make sense going to cinemas.
Really, sir? So let me ask you something. You ever went Sheraton? No answer, right? So
no,
let me tell you something. So any time they got shows, cinema shows at Sheraton, how much it is? Some $3 a night or whatever it is. You try and go Sheraton. You can't gain. So let me tell you something, right? From the time Eve crook a finger at Adam and say, come, let me show you this here. So I got something to show you. And they went behind the bush, right? Boys and girls just find time to be together. And the place they just find time to be together is the cinema. They can find it in their parents' house watching DVD if their parents in there. But people will always socialize. And I don't care how much DVD they go home, on their phone, whatever. They will find time to socialize. And my children, and children that I don't know, and my children are now big, okay? My son gonna be 22, my daughter gonna be 25, but they're still my children. And I know they just go with their friends to watch pictures. Now, whether they watch pictures, whether they lime, whether they sit on old talk, whatever it is, it's called socializing. And it happens. So you go and sit down outside Sheraton and watch and tell me that people don't go and watch movies. So liming is liming. And whether it's old men liming after work, young people liming, fella in the office taking the girl out for a drink or having lunch, people will find reasons to go out and socialize. And we used to do it in Bridgetown. Today we do it in city. We do it in Sheraton Center. We do it in the mall in Old Town. What's the name? I know Lime Grove, right? They just go in malls, and they go to see pictures sometimes. What they do at the pictures, I don't know. I ain't young anymore. I believe that there must be places. Look, if everybody in Bridgetown gets into a car to drive out to Bridgetown at 4:30 and sit down in traffic, until 5:30, that ain't making sense to get from Bridgetown to by Rendezvous. I can sit down in the car for an hour. When I could sit down and, you know, have a beer, and a little private conversation or something till 6 o'clock. If I ain't gonna go, I'm in a hurry. That's the problem, you know. We just need to find ways.
Yeah.
They call it all kind of fancy things now, but it's still, you know. Maybe if we cover Bridgetown and call it Bridgetown Mall. I don't know. maybe we'll make money. I don't know.
No, you see, all the lot of fancy stuff talking to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why all the lot of shooting and this thing is happening in those places.
Right?
Yes. That's common sense. Mm-hmm. That's elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That way you hear all the lot killing, blah, blah, blah. In these countries and those places. But if you stay at home,
mm-hmm.
you will never hear
them things happening.
Are
you joking? People are breaking your house and shoot you, sir. So look, let me tell you something. Eh? Look, the world has changed. I agree with you. The world has changed. Let me say this to you, though, okay? You would sit in your home and you'd be enjoying your DVD and your flat screen TV, and you know you're living good, so you employ somebody to cut the grass outside and all that, and somebody sit down and look at you and say, hey, you have a very large though, John cutting grass for Dennis got two cars parked up in the garage, they look new, flat screen TV, see plenty antenna on top of your house and dish, right, you got too much. So I go down the road to work, and when I come back, I ain't got flat screen TV, I ain't got dish, I ain't got car. As a matter of fact, I'm lucky they move in and take over everything else in the day. So look, you can't say that, you know, going out is causing people to get shot. you can't say that going on a cruise means that somebody gonna break in your car while you park in the car park. So we can't get like that. We can't get to the stage where we lock ourselves in our home so much with wrought iron and you know, monitors and everything else that we don't enjoy life. And we can't keep looking at what the other person have and saying you shouldn't have it. So life must go on. I would like to see when I'm finished working here after a long, hard day at work, and I quarrel with John because he played the commercial at the wrong time, and I quarrel with Ronnie because, you know, he make me work five weekends in a row, that we could go and sit down across here so and watch the, you know, the lights of Bridgetown and share a little camaraderie and share some jokes and laugh. You know, and if Carol 1 and Carol 2 and somebody else join us, you know, we're friends having a drink after work and having some, you know, a little relaxing time. It makes it easy to face each other when the challenges come tomorrow. But if I get in my car and I go home and Ronnie get in the car and go home and John get in the car and go home, you know, and we don't talk to each other outside the shouting and screaming while we're under pressure, we can fall apart. We can fall apart. Bridgetown can't be a place that we don't know anything about. I work on the outskirts of Bridgetown. I tell you, it's difficult for me to walk through Bridgetown at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and find some place to sit down and, you know, just relax for a little bit. I prefer to do it than sit in the car for half an hour. Yeah, I just say. Gentleman sends me a WhatsApp message just saying, I couldn't take the girl home. I would leave that on there, but neither could I on some occasions. Too many people home. Look, when I was at the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, I did a series called In the Shadows Of, where I sat down outside various places and reminisced on what it used to be like. And I selected them on purpose. The Empire was one of them. The Hilton Jetty was another. The Vista Cinema was another. Because those were areas that I recall from my youth where I had enjoyable times. Behind the Drill Hall was another, but I didn't do one on that. I remember an incident in the Vista Cinema where somebody's braces got entwined with somebody else's braces and they had to call parents to get them unlocked. Now, it wasn't me. I never had braces in my life, so it wasn't me. I could say so without fear of contradiction. But braces got hooked up together. Yeah, them things used to happen. Cinemas, they had more action in pit than they had on the screen. And some promises were made that were never kept. See, John choking, I don't know why. I led a clean life, so I don't have to choke. You all right, John? Okay. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. I can get people in trouble today, apparently. Good afternoon, 4341790. Hello? Okay, that person must have gone to get their braces checked. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what caused me to call is Mark was talking about
Bridgetown.
Bridgetown. I born and raised in Bridgetown. I'm in Bridgetown. But our major problem with Bridgetown is that there was a time when Bridgetown was incorporated, like all the other cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 60s, Mr. Barrow, who was the premier at the time, he commissioned a study on local government. And I got a copy of the study, and anybody could buy a copy from the government printery. They have good material, trust me. And they got rid of local government. That was the beginning of the end of the city. The city was vibrant. One of the things we used to do in the city, for instance, see bicycle numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to get an early bicycle number. A fellow prided himself, boy, and you could see the people down by the town hall, because you had a goofy number every year, waiting to get an early number. There were things that happened in the city. All the cinemas, there was the Plaza, the Empire, the Globe, there was the Bridgetown Plaza and the Barry's Plaza, the Empire. And there wasn't only movies at those cinemas. You had the Californians coming in.
Yeah, the there live was
a man who used to organize called Critch Ivan. He was a Guyanese. Mm. And his father was one of the pioneers of the Guyana industrial unions. And Critch Ivan used to got shows. The Mighty Power. I mean, all of them would come in. A lot of shows used to be at the Empire, but they also had shows at the Bridgetown and at the Globe.
Because they were theaters. And they were not just cinemas. They had theaters. They had dressing rooms at the back. They had curtains. They were able to handle a show.
And I know about the Plaza because I used to work as a boy in the Bridgetown Plaza. Mm-hmm. But with the stage and so on, mm-hmm, was ripe for those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then Mark talked about the coal pot. I work as a waiter in the coal pot. The coal pot had moved from one place up Broad Street, thinking near Barclays, down below by the where the taxi stand is.
Yeah.
The coal pot went upstairs there,
mm-hmm,
side of the Hong Kong.
Right.
But look, you move out, you had the Ice House, where the bank is now, Royal Bank, Nova Scotia Bank. Right, that is owned by the Goddards, and that was a big restaurant too.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bank there. But one of the problems with Barbados, Bridgetown is to be reserved for humanity or something like that. Bridgetown and its garrison.
Mm-hmm. But sir, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Was it not also the only existing commercial hub at the time? Because you talk about the established businesses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, I recall the area by the bridge was the area where the boats came in from the islands. So you would find the hawkers coming in along the careenage. You would find boats actually pulled up on the careenage to be careened. That's the term.
That's
to be cleaned.
The inner basin
of the area. Right, good.
Yeah, yeah.
In addition to that, you had housing around the Bridgetown area. The Nelson Street area, the Garrison area was used for housing. You could go right up the line into Belleville. Okay? Now, what has happened is that we have urbanized those areas. A lot of the houses have been turned into businesses. Now they're coming back into housing because of the East Indian population that have moved into certain areas and have merged businesses with their homes, which is a tradition for them. So when you talk about returning life to Bridgetown, for me, I see changing the scope of what we call Bridgetown in the first place. So extending Bridgetown, as we have done, into its garrison, its historic garrison and surrounding areas. So for me, you're now bringing the Bayland into Bridgetown. You're bringing back Belleville into Bridgetown. You're extending it almost to where the Hastings Police Station is there. Now, if you start looking at that as Bridgetown's footprint, then you ask yourself, how do we re-urbanize this and put life back into it by bringing people back to live in our city or don't see living in the city as being something that you should not do? So the housing estate we have established, for example, at the Grotto, all that has to be seen as part and parcel of re-urbanizing the city and bringing life back into it. Because if I could drive, and this is what I keep telling, we become a car-driven society. If I could drive to Sheraton, or I could drive to a mall, Sky Mall, and park and get out and go and sit down and have a meal, and my children could go around, roam and play video games, why would I walk into Bridgetown, although I work right here at Starcom Network? I won't do it because my children not with me, my family not with me. I lost. I can go where they're going. And that's what's happening to Bridgetown as well.
Mr. Johnson, one of the things missing, Bridgetown needs to be developed. We've had money put aside for slum clearance. Nothing has happened. We've had the Greenfield needs developing. Castle needs developing.
Yep.
The Orleans.
Yep.
And these are places where people...
And destigmatized.
Right. We still got some old buildings and so on in Robert Street, dilapidated buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that could be used. People used to live upstairs in most of those places. Business used to go on downstairs. And if you look at them, they're just falling apart. So we got to make up our mind whether we're going to ignore Bridgetown or we're going to make it right. It can be made right.
It can.
And I personally believe that it should be incorporated and extended. That is what it really needs.
Sir, but look at what's happening right on our outskirts, right? And I don't think we're paying attention to it. Virgin Atlantic has just redeveloped a place on Bay Street, just down from the traffic lights, to bring all their people from all over to sit there and wait to go to the airport to leave, right?
Right.
Good. They've done it, agreed, in a style that looks like the old style with the balconies and the, you know, it looked good, okay? Right.
Right.
But have we looked at what it would do to traffic coming up Bay Street and trying to turn to go there right by a traffic light or turn to go up Highway 7 to the airport? Have we looked at that? Have we looked at what it would do to that corner and how it would change the image of that corner if we have garbage thrown in the car park, vagrants sitting outside, a bus shelter without a bus stop, people walking up and down in between cars begging people for money, and a burnt-out building on the other side of the road, and we have the church complaining about noise coming from the beach. So we do these developments without looking at what it's going to do to the area and how it's going to change... how it's going to change the image of the area. Now, if that area was high-rise housing, if it was hotel development, if it were restaurants, it would fit into the area. But how is it going to fit in to a Catholic church where people want to pray quietly, or a school right across the road, when you have people enjoying their last day in Barbados who would want to party, eat and drink and have a good time? And how long we can play the music?
With the heavy volume.
Yeah.
I would just like to say there, Mr. Johnson, they had a fire over in the... They had two fires in the hospital section.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off the van and I decided to pass and look to see the damage that was done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I saw the person who did the damage relaxing, a monkey. You be still blaming green monkeys for things in this country. I saw this boar monkey sitting down in the vendor and looking at me and running. You have a good day, boy.
You too, sir. You know, the city of Bridgetown, a place where we work, where businesses have established themselves for years. We have pictures of old Bridgetown. We have pictures of new Bridgetown. We have places that have come up and gone down. If you look at the mess, someone just sent a picture, a mess that is at the back of the area where the heliport used to be. And you see the debris. You see the plastic lodged between the rocks. And in the distance, not far from those rocks, what you see, blue sea and yachts. What a contrast. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm going to start off by just telling you something. I get a little joke.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, a fellow told me that his uncle had just finished building his house,
mm-hmm.
and his wife living together.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him one day, "Man, you know, you do the right thing, and a house is a real good investment." return and ask her if it's a good investment where you don't pay a rent.
I hope he had his front teeth out.
Later on, I will tell you why.
Okay.
Sometime last week, I read an article in the paper where this lady that is something to do with the traffic. She's a Boeing.
Charmaine Roland Boeing, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where she had a group of people. Maybe it's a sensitized people or some hardship that the
widows were going through. Yeah.
The widows
I saw that.
Will be going through. And, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a laugh to myself and said that everybody now in Barbados are marginalized. I don't know how or why. But I asked myself a couple of questions. Because of what she said,
mm-hmm.
what was her main gross about these things?
Mm-hmm.
She's claiming that sometimes these women never worked before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they're always getting or believe they got a right to pull down men all the time. But secondly, she said sometimes the first man that come along after the husband died and tell her the love that is fall for it, and the men just turn out most of the time to be drunkards, gamblers, and abusers, right?
So. I know, unfortunately, we ain't going to be able to finish that conversation. It's one I would like to have one of these days in another forum, because I think it is one of the things that we have to deal with as we go forward, and that is our interpersonal relationships and how the choices we make, we blame other people for it. But that's another conversation for another time. In the meantime, thank you for your contributions on this the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to John Stout. Carol started us off. Ronnie held a bit until John got into the chair. On behalf of that team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.